You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in the windows, things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry. The only...
Five minutes after 9 o'clock on the west coast of the United States, that means it's 11:05 in Texas. Joining me from Granbury, Texas is Mike Musselman. What's going on?
That sounded pretty formal. I like that one, too.
You do?
Change it up. I don't know what kind of Mac you get in the morning.
Well, that's part of my counterterrorism program, yes?
Yeah, hard target, man. Yeah. Always be changing it up.
Always change it up a little bit. Always change it up. Yeah, see, they thought all those classes didn't work, but they did. So you
well, they didn't work. We're just being
the you're not supposed to do that.
I know, but we don't want to give them credit.
I know. Don't give those people that gave those classes anything. Yeah, what about so you had this big breakthrough in coffee brewing over the weekend that I learned about at 3:27 on Saturday morning.
Well, hey, it's not my fault you don't turn your phone off.
I have a 15-year-old daughter who's at a sleepover. Like, I can't.
Oh, well, I didn't know she's at a sleepover.
Next time. I should have told you, right?
Yeah. You got to give me the heads up. Like, hey, no, like, early morning phone calls because Colleen's at a sleepover. And I'd have been like, oh, okay, no worries.
Whoa. So I'm looking at a picture of whatever you've got going
so
there.
I just did that for fun. That's, like, over the top. Because there's some crazy people on YouTube. Did you know that?
Oh, really? No, I didn't know that. YouTube? What is that?
So, anyway, we went to the show Friday, Max Stallings. Great show, man. God, he's so good. Max Stallings, Stallings. Just a good old boy, good singer, really good singer. Pretty well known. I mean, he's got some CDs out. He's just not a big time. He's not like a Carrie Underwood or, you know, John Michael Montgomery stuff, but he's just as good, if not better, in some of his songs. And he sings some really good songs. Well, anyway, we went to the show, had dinner at Christina's, had Seabass. Those guys had prime rib. What was it called? Prime rib, braised prime rib. Ribs, like short ribs, like braised short ribs, but made with prime ribs. And then he did like a reduction port red wine sauce on whipped mashed potatoes with that. Oh my God. I mean,
really?
That was, oh, crap. If that would have saturated the ceramic bowl that it was served in, I would have been eating that like chips.
Oh, really?
Yeah. God, it was so good.
I had
my sea bass was good too, though. Chilean sea bass.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Chilean.
Yeah,
if you screw that up, you need to be fired from your job because every time I've ever had it, and it's normally if it's on the menu, it's one of their big items because it's not cheap.
No, it's not cheap. It's always this market price, and if you got to ask what market price is, order something else. Tenderloins are always a good way to go.
Get a burger.
Get the chicken tenders.
Exactly. Chilean sea bass is awesome.
On the way to the show, we stop over at the Panhandle, which is owned by young lady Sarah Monroe.
Of course.
And so we go in there, and we're just chatting, and we see this French press thing. It's called the Aero Press. And she goes, oh, my God, that thing is so great. So she's talking about it. And so I bought it. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll buy coffee.
I thought you were are you in a store or a restaurant?
We're in a store now on the way to the show because it's all in the square.
So you're walking around.
Okay. We're walking around the boardwalk around the square.
Got it.
And then so we stop in there, and so I bought the AeroPress, and we're talking about it. And then Ron buys one, so we both buy one. We put it in the truck. And then the next day, I'm up, and I'm reading about it, and I notice, holy crap, there's a lot of people on YouTube doing some crazy shit with this thing. So I just add the put the filter in there on the bottom, and it's just a press. It's like a vacuum press. Pour the coffee in, pour the hot water in, put the filter on the bottom, turn it upside down, put it in your cup, and just like a plunger, push it down. What you do kind of – what I like to find out now is I push down then pull up to create that vacuum, and it extracts that coffee, that more of that coffee flavor. So I do that a couple times and then press all the way down. And so I tried it, and I was like, holy shit, this is the best cup of coffee I've ever had in my entire life.
Come on, you're just saying that because you want attention.
No. Mac.
What?
This is the best cup of coffee.
Here we go.
And here's how I know it's true. Okay?
What?
Here's how I know it's the best cup of coffee.
But who cares, though? Nobody who drinks coffee.
Yeah, I do. And you don't, so you don't understand. So yesterday morning, my other half's like, hey, how do you work this thing? So she tries it, right?
Henrietta?
Don't say that. We'll just say Parker. Let's codename Parker.
No, Henrietta. The artist formerly known as Henrietta. That's how they used to talk about Prince.
Yeah, I know. The artist. So she tries it.
He's a Minnesota boy.
Yeah, don't get me started. And so she tries it, and she drinks it, and I go, what do you think? She's like, not bad.
That's actually pretty good. Not bad. So, that means it's really good, but she doesn't want to say that.
Yeah, I know, because then I'm going to get like this big head, right?
Right. She can't contribute to the delivery.
But how do I know? How do I know it was a good deal? Because this morning when I woke up and she's already at work, guess what's been used instead of the side of the sink?
Was
my Aero Press.
Was it clean?
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
Whoa. She didn't try and hide it either, but it was there.
She was.
So I was like, oh, used it. So now she's going to be using mine. I'm going to have to get one for her.
Why? Why can't you share?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's
not that
right. You don't share with anybody.
No. I do.
You're not that.
I share my company.
That person.
I share my company.
Stuff. We don't. Nobody cares about your company.
So, I share my friendship.
Okay, so, we don't care about your friendship either. So, explain to me, what does this actually do? Because, so, we got the cappuccino, we got the, what's the thing that dispenses
this,
the little liquid
thing? This is a fast extraction
thing.
Of flavored coffee to get it in there. It's very fast.
It is.
I mean, it's a plunger, yeah.
But what does it do?
But it's under pressure, so it creates a vacuum as it's pushing it. That pressure puts off. All that hot water, like, just, boom, saturates that coffee grind.
So it's getting more coffee out of the grind? More coffee taste?
Oh, yeah. This is one of the most flavorful. I mean, I'm addicted to this now. I can't go back to French press.
My God. Just so you know, we're never going to talk about this again, so we're going to beat it up here. So. Explain.
It's called AeroPress.
AeroPress.
Well,
I mean, isn't this the same thing they do with a wine aerator?
No, because there's no pressure under that. I just sent you a picture of it. Did you see the picture?
I did. I can't believe I never.
But I went crazy that
this
morning.
This is what friends do. Because you know how much I love the discussion about coffee since I drink so much of it, which is I don't drink any. I hate it. Hey, boys, let's have a discussion about what's the best brand of coffee that gets sent to us over here in Iraq or Afghanistan, because they send it by the shitload, by the way.
Yeah, it's called free. That's the best kind.
It's free. No, but if I could say I'm not a coffee drinker, consensus was?
Oh, Starbucks. Kona.
Mr. Donut.
Oh, no, I like the Starbucks.
Dunkin' Donut.
No. Not me.
Not you? That was consensus, everybody else.
No, not me. So a picture I sent you, that thing that's on the scale, that's the plunger.
The
right of the scale, that's the filter. So you put the coffee in. It's inverted right there.
Yeah.
You put the coffee in.
Why is it inverted?
It's just much easier to do it that way.
All right.
I had it all out. I was messing around with somebody.
Oh, really?
I wanted to see who would, like, comment. Because I did that Facebook Live. I wanted to see you comment and go, God, that's like crazy. Why do you? Because I got like the thermal. That's like a my thermal gun that reads temperature from afar. You know, does the laser. And my scale. So I did like a little narration.
You just
boiled the water to 192 degrees.
You just, but you just, you did it, right? You put all the rest of those toys out there because you wanted to make a sensation like you normally do, yes or no?
Yeah, I wanted to like.
Why don't you put a couple handguns out there? Toss those down on that counter.
Oh, but then that would have been like, yeah, that would have been like Black Rifle Coffee because they do that all the time. They make coffee with handguns in their hands. Like, good job, boys. You know.
They make coffee with guns in their hands. All right. The all right. What else? So so you're really geeked up about that. What else? Anything else going on?
No.
That's it? All right. Well, thanks for coming on today.
We're gonna talk about guns.
All right. What are we talking about relative to guns? Let's talk about guns.
What do you, what? So it's a my choice, or what did you get? You said you were going to send me like.
No, I didn't like, say. I didn't say anything. You said you were going to talk about things you wanted to talk about guns, and then you obviously forgot, so you got nothing.
No, I could talk about anything when it comes to guns. So let's talk about definitions of guns. Let's talk about weapon definitions.
No, I don't want to talk about that. You're clearly clearly not prepared, so I don't want to talk about that.
What is a cook-off, Mac? Can you tell me what a cook-off is?
It's when
explain to the readers, the listeners, what a cook-off is.
A cook-off is when you go to a picnic, and then they all have their grills. They all have their grills out, and we decide we have to have some agreement as to what we're actually having the cook-off about, and then we have a cook-off.
Okay, now a cook-off, right, happens when the barrel, the chamber, is too hot. It when you fire in excessively, it gets, you know, it goes off. When the chambered round, when you chamber a round, and as it sits in that chamber, it just goes off. The round, you know, not even touching the gun, you'll hear a bang. That's a cook-off.
We're not doing all cook-off radio, okay?
Can that happen to a civilian?
I want to talk. It cannot. I mean, come on.
It can.
No, it cannot. Does. It's impossible. They can't. They don't fire enough ammunition to have cook-offs. What about? Let's talk about the Great Eastern again. I'm fascinated by that ship.
The Great Eastern, that big-ass ship?
Yeah, that the ship we talked about that laid the first train. Do you know that that was the fourth attempt that that guy had made to lay a cable across the Atlantic? You didn't. I know.
No, I didn't. You didn't either until you probably just read about it.
No, yeah, I read it over the weekend or Friday when I was looking some stuff up. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. And then that's not the only cable he laid. He then laid one between Hawaii and Australia, and then the mainland and Hawaii, I think. You said they got to China, but, you know, through Russia and through the Barents Sea. That's pretty short. And then they used conventional munitions after that. And so, yeah, so this guy's, what's the good dude's name? I have to find the dude's name. But I'm still fascinated. I'm still not over the Great Eastern, the ship that laid the first transatlantic cable for the telegraph in 1866 maybe. But
yeah.
It was a big deal. I mean, can you imagine linking two continents so that you could find out news immediately through the wonder of the telegraph?
How long did the message take, though?
To travel?
Remember, they had to have amplifiers.
We never actually got into that, and I wanted to get into that because I saw a cross-section. In fact, if you go to the – and this is how I found out all this stuff. So whenever we do a segment, I normally go look for pictures of it and some information about it to put it up on the website. So I did that. And then in the process of so doing, I started reading about this more, and I saw a picture of the cross section of the actual cable itself. So if you go to Friday's show, I think it's Friday, Thursday's show. Friday's show is an analysis of the Mark Simmet character. And then on Thursday, how the SS Great Eastern laid the first successful undersea telegraph across the Atlantic Ocean in 1866. So if you look at that, you'll see in the picture a cross-section of the cable itself. And it is about, let's see, 6 inches long. And you can see it might be about 2 inches wide. It looks like it has copper cables, copper strands running through the interior of it. But how would they have boosted it? Was there a power supply inside the cable?
After talking about it, I couldn't find anything. Failure of the first cable. I just saw that. The repeaters, that's what those things were.
How did they work?
The original cables were not fitted with repeaters, which have amplified the signal along the way.
Right.
Because there was no practical way to power the relays, right?
Right.
Technology advanced, intermediate relays became possible in the first transmission.
And so what happened was they laid the first cable, but after a couple months, it didn't work. Right? It didn't work. And here's the guy, Cyrus Westfield, after 4 unsuccessful attempts, raised new money and made new arrangements to lay the telegraph cable that would link North America and Europe in 1886. Blah, 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 blah. That's the dude. But I still don't understand. And then you see there's a map in there, too. There's the Great Eastern there. Things monstrosity. Look, it's got like every possible way that you could propel a ship. It's got a paddle wheel, it's got sails, and it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5. I can't tell. It's a small picture. Maybe 5 smokestacks.
It had 5. It went to 4. It had 2 screws.
Exactly. This thing is going through the water one way or the other, man. We got to get this thing moving.
The only thing it didn't have is oars. Like everybody, like the guy down below with a whip.
They probably had oars someplace. Let's go, Larry. Grab it. All right, Shemp. Let's go down there and we'll start rowing. What about, but the one thing that's not in my head is, exactly, how did the relays work? How did the booster? Yeah. How did the boosters work?
Now you got me worried.
But I love this kind of stuff because
how
I'll
did
what,
that work?
If you go to things like, I remember the first time I went, they're like, "Hey Mac, you got to go to Frontier Days this weekend, where East Grand Forks, Minnesota." Okay, what do they do? Well, it's a big farming kind of thing. I'm like, all right, well, if farmers are there, you know there's going to be good food because most of them are fat and they don't roll around bad food. And they're all fun guys, so I said, I'll go out there. So I went out there, and they do, like, technology from the 1800s. What they did with a single engine that's spinning and normally a steam engine is mind-blowing. What they did with hay, what they did in mills, what they did in sawmills. You sit there and you see the way they actually did it, and you're like, holy shit. These people were geniuses, and they had one engine to work with. And they'd flip the belts, and they'd attach another one, they'd put one down here, and they'd boost it. It was absolutely fascinating to see how they did technology, you know, in the 1800s. Farmers did it. And so I kind of love this stuff.
Hey, here's a trivia question for you.
If you can't tell.
Yeah. How many cables were laid?
Total?
No, the first time.
You mean in 1866?
Yeah.
How many cables? 1?
2. I didn't check this out. One of the first difficulties was encountered is selecting the routes for the 2 cables required. And then it comes back, and so I'm like, why 2 cables? Because it says right here. 1 for each direction of the transmission. Because the cables, the technology was so simple, it could only go one way.
Whoa.
You're like, what? Because of the repeaters. And so now I'm looking at, like, the repeaters made it that way. So the repeaters, as the signal goes through and passes through the repeater, it has to, the repeater's built some way to push the signal only one from one direction, though. It's not a, you know, multi-way repeater, I guess. They didn't exist back then.
It's not a bisexual repeater?
No. So how, now you got me like, what the hell did these repeaters?
That's fascinating. No, I mean, honestly, when you look at this stuff and the way they did stuff, I love this kind of stuff. Like, how did they do it? You know, how did they do it? And so what powered the booster? Because, you know, yeah, if everybody knows what happens if you're in a flood and your city's beginning to flood and the power goes out to the pumping stations, the lift mm-hmm. stations, you are screwed because that water can't go anywhere. Your water in your community mostly runs on gravity, but there are spots that gravity doesn't work, so they have lift stations that are powered, and most of them have a fuel backup when the power goes out, and the generator kicks in. When the generator runs out of gas, what you're going to have is flooding. And so,
dude, I want this. There's a statue that was made.
To what?
Oh, this is sweet looking. So there's a statue that was actually made way back then for the first cable trans.
Right, it's on the banks of, like, Nova Scotia, right?
No, you can buy this. You can have this on your desk.
What? Then it's nothing. Come on.
Oh, dude, share screen. You got to see this now. You're going to be like, what? I want one of these, too. If you find one.
I want a piece of the cable.
Well, that's what the statue is. It's a...
What?
Okay. You looking at my screen?
No.
Look at my screen. This is an actual...
I'm seeing nothing. Oh.
This is the actual statue. There's the cable. That's what it looks like. You know, that itty bitty cable and then all the way in here. But it was a commemorative that you could buy. I want to now buy one.
I like that. And that's where, that's the cable on the left. So what
that's a cross section. Yeah, that's from looking at it like.
So there's,
you, can
you got
spin
all
that
these...
around. That little thing spins around, and then that's like it expanded, right?
Okay. So what's it, the thing on the pedestal? Is the thing in the middle? The wire's in the middle?
Yeah, the wire's right in the middle. There's the little wrap that kind of shows you goes up, and then that's the actual.
Okay, so the thing on the left is a kind of a schematic because the thing in the center is the real thing.
Right.
What? I don't understand. I understand because, look, Mike, the thing on the left, like, what is that?
And then that's the total cross-section.
Okay.
That's just cross-section.
All right. Then what's the thing on the pedestal? That's not
that's expanded, so it's, like, pulled out. So it shows you each component.
Yeah, but those two things aren't the same size, if they're real. And then what is the thing on the right? Is that the
I don't know
is that
that
the
is.
Booster? Yeah, I'm confused.
Yeah. I'm going to find this now because.
Here's an email. This conversation is unbelievable. You two dorks are truly pegging the dork meter today. You're doing a deep dive on the first transatlantic. Yeah, we are. We are. If you don't like it, lump it. The Yeah, this stuff is cool. Old technology. Like when you see how the Romans did the aqueducts and all that stuff. I love to watch, you know, and I should have been an engineer. You know what show I used to love to watch was
what?
The one where they go down. They used to go, some guy would take you down into the sewer of old cities. Like they'd go down into the sewer of Paris or London or Rome, and they would show you like the centuries that the city was built up from. And you're like, holy shit, man, that's crazy stuff. But I used to like that, and he'd be standing on the street, and he says, we're going to go below ground. All of a sudden, you like, disappears, and he shows up down in the bowels of the city. I love that stuff. And
oh, yeah. So do I. I want some of this. Look at this. Oh, dude. That would have been freaking...
Hey, cool. You have to... You're supposed to have technical expertise and shit, okay? And you're not really solving the problem...
I'm looking for a repeater. What's that little grappling hook? That's
how
cool.
Did?
Well, I'm at the actual history of it. This is the history page. This is everything that there is.
Are you just getting, you're getting mesmerized by the pictures? Like a monkey? Like a chimp?
Yeah, that's the first thing. They're in the right places.
This is Marine Corps right here. Mesmerized by the pictures. Over here, boys!
Dude, you got to find this. This is a good website. We got to put this on there. This is everything.
You got to send it to me.
It's just AtlanticCable.com. Yeah, this is pretty cool, man. I just sent it to you.
Sent me the link. All right. I must have. You just sent it to me. So how did it repeat?
I can't find a repeater. That's the thing that's like driving me crazy right now. What would you say the guy's name was? Cyrus, right?
Cyrus West. Cyrus something West.
Hold on. Field.
Cyrus Field West. Yes. Yeah. Why was the transatlantic cable important? Transatlantic.
We should find one of his descendants and get him on here.
He made us a shit ton of money. I don't know anything about it, but he did make us a shit ton of money. Origins of the idea.
Holy shit, look at all the cable ships they had. It wasn't just one. Goliath was the first cable ship.
Failure of the first cable. Operations of the new cable was plagued by the fact that the two senior electrical engineers of the company had very different ideas of how the cable should work.
Be built, right. Dude, Lord, there's hundreds of ships.
Lord Kelvin and Dr. Wildman, White House, were located at opposite ends of the cable, communicating only by the cable itself. Kelvin, located on the western end, believed that it was necessary to employ only a low voltage and to detect the rising edge of the current flowing out of the cable end. Once this had been done, nothing would be gained by further monitoring. Morse code used a positive current for a dot and a negative current for a dash. Kelvin invented his mirror galvanometer. Exactly. Precisely for this task of observing the current change quickly. On the eastern end of the cable was White House. He was the company's chief electrician and doctor of medicine. Any electrical knowledge that he possessed was self-taught. White House believed that in order to have the current at the receiving end change as rapidly as possible, the cable should be driven from a high voltage source, several thousand volts, from an induction coil with a pitcher. The position was made worse because every time intelligible Morse code was seen on the mirror galvanometer, in the eastern end, White House insisted that the galvanometer be disconnected and replaced with his own patented telegraph recorder, which was far less sensitive. The effects of poor handling and design of the cable, coupled with White House's attempts to drive the cable with high voltages, resulted in the insulation of the cable being compromised. Okay, I'm not an electrical person, but I know this. When you compromise the insulation and it's surrounded by salt water, nothing good happens after that. Okay,
yeah.
Nothing good happens. Salt water destroys everything. I don't know why God invented it.
On that website I sent you,
yes.
It talks about cable, the speed, and the traffic capacity of each cable ever laid, even the most recent one up until 2007. So the first one that was laid, Atlantic, Ireland, Newfoundland, was the speed of capacity was a few words an hour. And then the second one, 1866, 6 to 8 words per minute. And then 1898, 40 words per minute. Man, now they're cooking with gas.
Whoa.
1928, 2,500 characters per minute, 400 words per minute. And then it, like, boosts up. And then it wasn't until, like, hell, in 1965, dude, 1965, there was only 138 telephone channels available through that cable. So if there's, if there's 139th person trying to call, not going to work.
What do you mean? In 1965?
It was only.
Oh, that's when you. Hey, that's when you used to have to call the overseas operator.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah. Yes, I'd like to place a call. I'm sorry, you'll have to wait.
Right, you're the 139th person.
Right, and then she would stick the plug in one end, and then it would come out the other end.
In 1976, it was only 4,000 telephone channels. And then, all of a sudden, 1988 hit. First fiber optic cable was laid. 280 megabytes per second. 40,000 telephone channels.
And Cyrus West smiled that day.
Oh, yeah. Then, boom. And then it just, jumped. Bam, bam. 1996, two cables were laid, and they were both 5 gigabytes per second.
Yes. Then everybody's watching European porn.
Now it's the one that laid is system capacity is 1.9 terabytes per second.
Gigawatts.
That's coming next. That'll be, next year they lay the gigawatt cable. Gigawatt cable. Once the gigawatt cable's laid, shit, it's over with.
Yeah, Marty McFly's going to show up. Him and Doc Brown. All right. How about repairing the cable? Broken cables required an elaborate repair procedure. What was it, Mike?
I'm not there.
I'm not sure.
Cable maps.
That was Mark Simmons' area of specialty. The approximate distance to the break is determined by measuring the resistance of the broken cable. The repair ship navigated to that location. I don't get it. The approximate distance to the break is determined by measuring the resistance of the broken cable.
The resistance?
The cable was hooked with a grapple and brought on board to test for electrical continuity. Buoys were deployed to mark the ends of the good cable, and a splice was made between the two ends.
Huh. To think of that they could pull this off in 1860, in the middle of the Atlantic on wooden boats with paddle wheels.
Exactly. All right. I want to go over one more part of the cable before we somehow or other leave the cable behind.
You can buy pieces of the cable.
I want one. The cable itself, that is crazy, though. Messages were hard to decipher. Queen Victoria's message of 98 words took 16 hours to send. Hey, Your Highness, could you cut this shit? Could you cut this down,
please? Could you keep it down a little bit?
Yeah, could you dial this one back? I think so. We were connected, but not very much. I thought we'd we're chatting.
That's pretty remarkable time in history when we started connecting the world. That's pretty cool. It took 10 days before that for message to get across because they get it on. You write a note, Mr. President, please call me at your earliest, Queen of England. Put it in a note, an envelope, put it in a satchel, get on a ship. 10 days later, you arrive at the White House. Mr. President, here you go. Oh, shit, here you go. Here's a reply. Can you imagine being that courier? Yes, Mr. President. Get on the boat. 10 days. I wonder if they give you sky miles, water miles. Yeah. And then the one day he's on the loose.
You spent all your time at sea, though. That had to suck.
He's coming. Hey, the only ship in port is the Lusitania. It's leaving right now, though. All right, I'm on it.
I'm out. No. I have a bad feeling about that thing. She's a scow. I'm not getting on it.
There's really beautiful maps you can buy of the cable, where the cable was, where it was laid.
Yeah.
That cross section, I want to find that thing, dude.
But we still haven't got to the part of how it was boosted.
I know.
Listen to this. In the meantime, long cables, this is 1864. In the meantime, long cables have been submerged in the Mediterranean and the Red Sea. How about that? With this experience, an improved cable was designed. The core consisted of 7 twisted strands of very pure copper weighing 300 pounds per nautical mile. That's actually not that heavy. It's lighter than I thought it was going to be. Coated with Chatterin's compound, then covered with four layers of gutta percha. Do you know
what? Ooh, you don't want to get gutta percha on your fingers.
Gutta percha refers to trees of the genus Paloqualium in the family Sapocaceae, and the rigid natural latex produced from the sap of these trees, particularly from the Paloqualium gutta. Yeah, boom.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Alternating with four thin layers of the compound cementing the hole and bringing the weight of the insulator to 400 pounds per nautical mile. The core was covered with hemp saturated in a preservation solution, and on the hemp was helically wound 18 single strands of high tensile steel wire produced by Webster and Horsfall Limited of Bay Mills, Birmingham, England. Each covered with fine strands of manila yarn steeped in the preservative. I was going to say steel and salt water. This is not going to work out well. But even that had a preservative. The weight of the new cable was 35.75 long hundredweight, or 4,000 pounds per nautical mile. That's more like it, or nearly twice the weight of the old. The Haymill site successfully manufactured 30,000 miles of wire made by 250 workers over 11 months. That was probably a nice little fat contract. How about
hey, you
that?
Know, last year in February of 2018, yeah. Facebook, Microsoft, and yeah. Telefonica went in, bought a cable, and laid a cable, 160 terabyte per second cable, from Virginia Beach to Spain.
To Spain? Really?
Yeah, so there's a lot of private cables. I'm looking at, there's like a lot of private cable companies that have laid, and believe it or not, they're all like Facebook, Vodafone.
Why do we need a cable when
satellite?
We have satellites?
Speed. You can go faster through
wire.
Cable than you can do that.
And probably, truth be told, more dependable as well.
And like they said back in the day, what's the most, besides messenger, what is the most secure forms of communication? Wire. Remember? Remember wiremen laying wire from phone to phone?
Thing of the past.
But remember the phones?
Oh, yeah.
Like, pick up your TA-1 and put... Hello?
Wake up!
Yeah, that thing would, like, click.
I've been ringing this thing for 15 minutes. What have you been doing? Didn't hear it, Staff Sergeant.
The little black ones that used to have for your LPOPs?
Yeah.
Those would, like, if you were getting tired, you put that little black cable on there, put it on your leg, and touch it a couple times. Wake your ass up real quick.
Yeah, they would find all kinds of, again.
Another way we hazed people.
We used to call it having fun. Now it's like hazing.
Now it's hazing.
When you're
but like, hey, hold these two ends of this wire. Why? Long. We're checking for connectivity. All right. Got them? Yeah. Okay, it works. New guy.
It's hilarious. Come on. Everybody falls for it once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TAT, T-A-T.
T-A-T.
Is the for transatlantic telecommunication.
Whoa, TAT.
T-A-T. I wonder what PAT or Pacific would be. And like you said, I haven't seen, I'm going to look for Pacific stuff because that would have been like
that's
from Japan. That's a different story, boys.
Well, I don't think you go to Japan. That's like a lot of cable, man.
That's right. They go from Alaska
down.
All the way across.
And that means the Russians are involved in it. So you know it's going to be totally jacked up if those monkeys.
What about
Would you rather be a monkey or a Russian?
Why do you get a hate on the Russians?
Because on this date in 1945, President Roosevelt, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who would get voted out of office like right after World War II. Soviet leader Joseph Stalin signed the Yalta Agreement during World War II. Roosevelt would be dead within, what, a couple months after that?
Yeah.
And never see the peace that he had kind of shepherded the country towards. But, man, it sets up the Iron Curtain and Eastern Europe. So the Yalta Agreement. Many people speculated that Roosevelt was not at his best there. And his defenders have said, no, no, he was at his best. So anyway.
Do you know why they put – why they wanted Roosevelt in the center?
Of it?
Yeah, that picture. That famous picture at the Yalta at the Crimean.
Yeah. No, I have no idea why.
Because that was – they was – it was – where they wanted to show America in the like that's the leadership position between both of them, and they didn't pick up on it. And it was even better because if you look at that picture, Churchill looks frumpy. He looks sloppy. He, you know, that coat is way too big on him. He looks tired. Stalin was the other guy though that was really apparent. He was really cognitive of where he was supposed to be positioned to make him look, you know, important.
So if he's on the flank, what difference does it make?
Because to him, that was a position, that was like the position of power for him.
The
he was wrong.
The center. Come on.
You screwed that one up. Yeah, Stalin.
But he was not going to be in the center of the picture, right?
No.
And the UK wasn't, because unlike World War II when the Brits did the heavy lifting in World War II, World War I when the Brits did the heavy lifting, in World War II, United States, not only the manufacturing, but in terms of numbers all over the world, it was the United States, and clearly eclipsed. So the free world, it had to be. There wasn't, come on.
Yeah, but you know what the Yalta was designed to do, right?
The Yalta? What was
the Yalta Conference.
What?
It was to break up Germany.
Well, it was designed to cast. Well, I will say this. I mean, there was much concern, obviously, and much thought that the Treaty of Versailles, right, had spawned World War II. And so how do we treat Germany this time that we're going to do it again? And, you know, from the United States, you see the Marshall Plan and George Marshall, which is one of the most far-sighted and laid the groundwork for peace in Europe. You know, the other thing that I did not know until I started reading about George Marshall, you know, one of the things he said was, look, we're going to have to transition industry from wartime industry to peacetime industry, and that's going to be no small feat here in the United States. And if we produce all these materials and ship it to Europe, we can transition that and soften the blow to the American worker. I thought, whoa, well done, General Marshall. So George Marshall's really an interesting dude. And
he's
his imprint on the after World War II, he becomes in fact General Mattis walked in his footsteps. He became the Secretary of War at the time, and then he became the Secretary of State. That's how powerful of a dude that he was, and how highly regarded he was. On this date in 1847, Thomas Edison was born. Over 1,000 patents, including the light bulb.
Yeah, we give him too much credit.
For inventing the light. That thing's so overrated.
Come on. That's so overrated. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of other people.
Could you imagine, though, Mike? People got on the train and went up to his place that was known as Menlo Park. And when they got off, there was just, went into this world.
We would have been a lot better off if Tesla would have been the guy that we would have been.
No.
Yeah. Tesla's theory of, you know,
alternating current and however the electricity flows. Yeah. He's too weird. And he couldn't make
that makes you smarter.
No, but it made him a failure.
You're not understood, you're smart.
It made him a failure though. And it made Edison, they would get off the train, and then they would turn the lights on. And remember, people had never seen anything like this, right? And then they did, like, the monkey stuff. Ooh.
Yeah, like monkey with fire. You ever seen that thing?
Yeah, they'd never, think about that, never seen electricity. All of a sudden, night is day. And then somebody says, hey, let's play a baseball game under these lights. Hey, good idea, let's go. That means we can all go after work. We don't have to blow off work and go to the ball game. Yeah.
But, okay, so Edison, when he came out with all this stuff, all his, he basically was the father of DC, right?
I don't know.
Direct current. Yeah. So when you look at, you know, when we talk about the invention of the light bulb, okay, yeah, he's, that got him into, basically in the frame. But when you look at, okay, so Edison was DC. So look at all of the problems with direct current. Nikola Tesla invented alternating current, AC.
Right.
So when you understand, you know, like I said, we would have been a lot better off because direct current loses, you can't travel over long distance.
Yeah,
right?
you're in so far over your head, it's a joke.
No, that's why I say Nikola Tesla is probably, should have been one the more we would have put up on the pedestal and said, hey, here we go. But we give it to Edison, who was not a, probably a nice guy anyway.
Well, you know what, but here's the problem with that. If you're, I'll draw a parallel. Sony had built a better camera in the early 80s, standalone. It was beta. It was better technology, and it would be used commercially around the world for decades, right?
For beta. Beta was better.
Beta was better. But Sony screwed up the business side and tried to keep monopoly, and then somebody else invented VHS and blew it out everywhere. As opposed
that's
to trying
case,
to make...
That's the case for a lot of things when you look back.
And I think, I don't know the business part of it, but Edison was probably a better businessman, was probably working with better people,
right?
And then they said, hey, well, what about Tesla? Like, he's that guy's a kook.
Yeah, but that's what I say. But now, with the knowledge we have, we look back and it's like...
Look at the picture of Tesla.
Oh, he's a crazy Russian.
Yeah, he
man.
Looks like a crazy guy. And look at Edison. He looks like your grandpa. So who are we going to do business with?
Yeah, but we know now that Edison was not your grandpa.
Yes,
your grandpa
he was.
Why
don't Edison
evil.
Hate? Do
oh,
not
man.
Edison hate on this. Okay. on this date in 2012, Whitney Houston was found dead at the age of 48.
What a tragedy.
I'll tell you what, if you want to see a pretty interesting program, I can't remember, I watched one about her, and you talk about somebody who was nothing like the public persona that was sold, and she was just dying the whole time. Whitney Houston. It's a horrible, horrible story, but at the same time kind of fascinating in the way that she lived these two lives. And so when you saw her later in her career, and she was on TV, I mean, we met her as this beautiful model, singer, daughter of Sissy Houston, niece of Dionne Warwick, with this incredible voice, star and bodyguard, blah, 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 blah. That wasn't really her. That was all made for TV. And then later on, you saw her in a reality TV show with Bobby Brown, where she was just acting like an ass. That was her.
She lived she lived totally a double life, though, man. I mean, she, with her public persona from... Yeah. And that's sad thing about it.
Oh, my God. Horrible.
And then she, you know, it was passed down to Bobby Christina,
who
she died. Just killed herself, a few years ago?
Yeah.
And that's sad. It's a sad story.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. Terrible. But it was interesting in the documentary, you know, her friends that she grew up say, oh, no, that was her, the wild child, right? She's always beautiful and always could turn on the charm, but... Always involved with drugs, along with her brother.
Bad boys, yeah,
right?
She liked the bad
boy. When she was young, and her mother ruled the roost, man, and she did not defy her mom, and so she would get correct. And then she became wildly successful, but she always had that going.
She hung around Snoop Dogg for a while.
Snoop Dogg's funny. He is a...
Or no, Tupac. Not Snoop Dogg, Tupac. The dead guy.
The dead guy. Yeah, Snoop Dogg's alive.
Yeah, Tupac's dead.
He was doing play-by-play of the LA Kings game the other night.
Yeah.
Funny.
Those guys have really, Have you noticed, like...
Funny as hell. He does a cooking...
LL Cool J.
Yeah, he does a cooking show with Martha Stewart. LL Cool J used to come by Pendleton all the time.
You know, so you got LL Cool J, who was one of the original guys, you know, in the Compton, you know, breakout of rap. You know, and now look at what his career's come. Oh, man, that guy's...
They've all gone into everything. I mean,
they've gotten
successful
smart,
businessmen. Yeah, a bunch of those guys. So Dr. Dre with his beats, right? He's parlayed that, you know, from...
they're all legitimate now.
Yeah. And then probably the most, I don't know, what is it?
Kanye.
Ice Cube. I mean, he's done all those movies, Friday After Next Friday.
Ice Cube, LL Cool J, Kanye West.
Yeah, they've all, I mean, and they all do all kinds of stuff. Yeah, so, he did Barbershop, too, Ice Cube did. And, you know, and it's funny when you watch him, he says, look, I don't create a whole lot. I mean, all the stuff that I write about are people that I grew up with, and you know, they were funny people. It's funny stuff, so we just talk about it, so. Pretty interesting. On this date.
But not the days of, like, Notorious B.I.G. and back in those days, because that's when they were fighting. Remember that?
East Coast, West Coast
rappers? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's how Tupac got killed. They wanted, if you read stories about that, Death Row Records and all that, the involvement of off-duty LAPD officers with them as bodyguards and who supposedly shot them, it's some pretty crazy stuff that they had going on, and just tons of cash flying around. I got interested in, I went to the Grammy Museum, and I saw a bunch of, they had a display about Tupac, and then I didn't really know anything about the guy, and I listened to a couple of his songs, but I started reading about how he was killed and the investigation, and blah, 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 blah. But it was, and that was kind of tied back into the Rampart investigation of the Rampart Division, the LAPD, which is the largest police corruption.
Wasn't that where that guy was killing? There was like a cop that was part, he was like, he was involved really bad, like taking a lot of money.
Crazy stuff. Yeah, and that they had Death Row Records, which was Suge Knight. I mean, they had all these police guys were part-time employees doing, but they were part-time employees making, like, a ton of money. So they knew everything that was going on, because these guys would tell them, because they were making a ton of money. And they also got protected. So it was pretty crazy, crazy, crazy stuff.
Oh, we left Jay-Z out of that.
Jay-Z, man.
$900 million. That's what his net worth right now.
Right. What's his face?
Sean Combs, P. Diddy.
Two first guys to be worth a billion out of rap music, hip-hop.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, on this day, Max Baer was born, an American boxer and the father of Max Baer Jr., who played Jethro Bodine on the Beverly Hillbillies. That's right. You wondered where that was going, didn't you? Max
Baer. I was always wondering who the father of Jethro was.
Yeah, Max Baer. He's an American boxer, heavyweight boxer, back in like 20s and 30s, when men were men. That's right.
He was a big dude, man.
Jethro was a big dude, man. He tried to be a boxer. I think he was a Marine
at one
point.
What was his height? What was his height and weight?
Jethro Bodine. I would say Jethro Bodine is about 6'6", 230 pounds.
Let me look him up. He's 6'4", close. They don't give a weight, though.
Yeah, he's an actor. He didn't want his weight out there.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he was.
Who was the girl on that?
Ellie Mae Clampett.
Oh, yeah.
Ellie Mae. Exactly.
What's her name? Irene Ryan?
Irene Ryan, that is...
That's the old lady.
Yeah, that's Granny.
Granny.
Yeah, she's hilarious. And then Buddy Ebsen was Jed Clampett.
Donna Douglas.
Who is she? Oh,
Ellie Mae Clampett.
How about Miss Drysdale? Who is that? She would come around And it's Mr. Drysdale. Who was Mr. Drysdale's assistant?
Mr. Drysdale?
He was the banker. And the banker and his assistant were always trying to get the clamp.
Milburn Drysdale was Raymond Bailey.
Miss Jane Hathaway was Nancy Culp.
And then Harriet McGibbon was Margaret Drysdale.
Oh.
Yeah, Nancy Culp was Jane Hathaway.
Miss Jane Hathaway.
Man. Cousin Pearl.
She would show up in the craziest costume, bird watching and whatnot. Actually, I know her as in her latter days of performing in the Beverly Hillbillies, but, I mean, you see pictures of her as a young woman. She's beautiful.
Daisy Moses.
During World War II, Culp left the University of Miami in 1944 to join the women's branch of the United States Naval Reserve. She attained the rank of Lieutenant J.G., received several decorations while in service, including the American Campaign Medal. She was honorably discharged from the reserve in 1946.
She did a lot of TV stuff.
Miss Jane Hathaway.
Petticoat Junction. Yeah, she was in Petticoat Junction. Miss Jane Hathaway is Petticoat Junction.
Nice.
Yeah. The Lucy Show. That's where I remember her. Jane Corey from the Lucy Show.
I only remember her from Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, no. There's a lot of them. Mr. Ed? Maverick.
She was in the original filming of A Star is Born.
Yeah. Right.
Starring Judy Garland. Yeah.
That was in 1930s or something, wasn't it?
1954. Close.
No, I thought there was...
Stop it.
No.
Stop.
And the reason I...
She was,
how many
she
stars...
Was in the, she was in the Western... She was in the movie Shane, which was a big-time Western. Yeah. Miss Jane Hathaway. She did a lot of stuff in her life. Congratulations. All right,
that's the musical.
What's that?
That was the first. Stop. Okay, so 1954.
Stop. There we go.
This was the musical. There's four.
It's not a musical.
Times that movie, most recent.
Yeah, first one in 1954.
Yeah, the middle two were musicals.
No, there's music in the movie. They're not musical. There's a difference.
That's what it's classified as.
No, because it's a dramatic story. It's a love story.
A remake of the 1937 film stars Gary Cooper. Yeah, so this is a remake of the 1930 film. Stars Born has been recast four times.
Give me the years.
I'm giving it to him right now. 1937.
Who was in it?
I got to find it.
He's making this up.
No, it's not. I'm looking at it right here.
Whenever it gets this sketchy, that means he's making it up.
Well, they're not giving me the details on that, the other two. They're just giving me the one that's most recent with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, which I still have to see.
I haven't seen it. Mac, you're dorks. You dorks. Here is a link to the repeaters. From master electrician John Wayne B. from the state of Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
Transatlantic fiber optics, how it works.
Really? Okay, so Janet Gaynor and Frederick March.
Janet Gaynor, goddammit.
Janet Gaynor.
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 Gaynor. You're Gaynor. Gaynor the Viking. Gaynor the Viking.
Yeah, there's Gaynor the Viking.
That's Ragnar the Viking.
There, I just shared the screen again, so now you can see it. So, A Star is Born, 1937.
I don't care about
this. That was the
first one. I don't care about this. I'm back at the transatlantic cable.
Janet Gaynor.
The booster.
Played Lorna. What was the name of the website?
How it works. Transatlantic fiber optics. Fiber optic cable. I want to know how that one worked. Where is 1866? Oh, see, he sent us some bullshit. Now, he doesn't think he's going to get wire brushed for this? the TAT 14 transatlantic fiber optic cable. I want to hear about
TAT 1.
TAT 1 or maybe 2. How did that thing get boosted? Yeah. Oh yeah, big shot electrician, Mr. Monkey Boy. Mr. Monkey Boy? Yeah, I guess we're not the monkeys after all.
He's probably like, screw you guys, man. I try and help you, and this is the thanks.
This is the thanks I get. I get wire brushed for sending that in. Well, it doesn't answer the question we asked. How did they boost?
I know how it got boosted. How did the signal get boosted? They didn't plug it in on one end. Or did they?
No. I would think that the
low voltage current runs through the entire line.
Exactly. And then that current powers the booster, and when the booster gets signal, it amplifies it and pushes it out. See, that's how that's just me being a genius, okay? And I don't know that to be a fact.
Well, me being a genius too, I will probably second your genius, and then two geniuses deciding on one, gotta be fact.
Which can be wrong as fuck, but it sounds good. So to me,
it's a theory. We don't have to prove the theory.
Yeah, when you look at this cable,
your job to prove the theory incorrect.
If we postulate the theory, it's your job. So to me, so here's what you see. What you see in this diagram, these are fiber optics. I don't want fiber optics. But let's go back and say the typical submarine cable is a series of cables, right? Coded cables. There's going to be one coded. There's going to be another coded. There's going to be another coded. All have different functions, one of which could be power. Now, I don't know that that was the case in TAT 1. I like TAT 1 or TAT 2, whatever. TAT question mark.
Get it?
Yeah. So, transatlantic telegraph cable 1. So, we have work to do. All right, so you've been so tasked. Now, find out.
Now I'm gonna figure this out. I'm going to try and build a model of it. And then I'll figure it out.
All right, yeah.
I got to go to
this
the
is
store
what,
today.
See, this is what Mike does. This is what Mike does for a living, okay? This is what gunners do. They take, like, really, really detailed, stupid stuff, and they go learn a lot about it, and then they come and they lord it over you. Oh, yeah, but at 700 pounds per inch, anybody would know that it's too much, or it'll blow your ears out. Are you stupid?
Hey, I never lorded anything.
But they don't know anything else. Hey, do you know how to get home today? What? Do you know where your car keys are? Huh? Do you know what your name is? Me? I have a name tape on. That's why I know my name. Okay, monkey boy. Right, take you and that pineapple and get the fuck out of here. That's right. That's how that works. That's commissioned officer, like gangster role right there. So anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Anything else before you?
No, I'm having people
on that.
I'm baiting people on my live video. They're like, "What is this? It's crazy."
It is crazy. What?
and then our Montana man has to make. He's like, he can't come up with anything new, so he's got to come up with already been on. So he's, you got hairy knuckles. And so I replied to him was, that's called testosterone. Too much testosterone, your boy. So stop going to the doctor for your estrogen treatments and switch over.
Oh, hey, he's coming to Texas with all that estrogen.
I know.
He's gonna do some hunting, but he's out.
Go ahead.
He's out in West Texas, right? This is like
I don't know where the hell he goes. He, for all I know, he goes down to like, he probably in New Mexico doesn't even know damn Texas from New Mexico.
Yeah.
For all I know.
That wouldn't surprise me.
No.
He's getting out though, but he hurt his back. He was whining last night.
I know, I heard about that.
Oh, my back hurts. Oh. And then Rudy, oh yeah, I threw my disc out too. Oh.
Rudy's
like, dudes, are we going to talk about our injuries really?
Yeah, Rudy's the chick that piles on. Oh.
And he had a lot of injuries too.
Yeah. Don't hear me.
Yeah. He has a lot of injuries because he's a fighter pilot. and he pulled.
Oh yeah, I know. Pulling all those G's.
Pulling all those G's, man. It's hard on your body. Are you really?
Oh shit! All right, I got to go pick up barn door sliding barn door supplies.
Exactly, for a barn. All right, see you later.
All right, we'll talk to you.
You know what? The last 10 minutes or 15 minutes have just been a great example of the kind of shit talking we do as human beings. That's like normal daily banter. The rest of it, we all were faking before that. But the last 15 minutes, that's the way we get into our friends. Drag them around. And then they have to come and try to salvage their own reputation. Or not. All right, now, if you're just tuning in to the program, in the first hour, you're going to hear a teaser for the second hour, which is, I think, really interesting. You may not think so, but I do. If you're interested in mental health, you're going to hear from a discussion that was done at University of Texas Southwest. The link to the video is on the website. Go to the resource page. That's right. Down below, it says, other links from Mac, Mike, and Josh. The second entry is video, a conversation with Dr. Madhukar Trivedi and Dr. Vikram Patel. New ideas for strengthening community mental health care from North Texas to India. Both guys are from India. And they talk about the studies they've done and how they see. And you know what? Their observation is very basic, right? Here's their observation. How's this for going out on a limb? Okay. Since the only time people come in to be treated for depression is after it's gone to some kind of high-order detonation in their life, which means the depression has been there for years, their epiphany is, why don't we scream for the symptoms? What? Yeah, why don't we screen for the symptoms? So they start screening for the symptoms. And then guess what happens? They start finding people that are in maybe the early stages of having symptoms. And they begin to talk to them about diet, exercise, nutrition, and the importance of disclosure. What? Yeah, that's their whole gig. The same, and so if you look at the model that Dr. Madhukar Trivedi talks about, he says in their study, 40,000 people in the study, 15% showed symptoms of depression on three or more office visits that got them then regularly screened. Okay? That means 6,000 people equals 15%. Okay? And so if you got three positive tests at your general practitioner, they would screen you routinely for depression. Okay? What they found was less than 1% actually had to see a psychiatrist. As they triaged them, And they taught them how to manage this that you're going to live with. Interesting implications, eh? Yeah, that's why you listen to this show, right? It makes you smart. Anyway, have a great day. So that you'll find that in the second hour. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. On a Monday. Over and out.